Blog Talk Radio.
Might as well put your hands together.
Indeed, you are truly in tune to Are You a Liability or an Asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show on this Thursday night, August the 9th, 2018. I am Executive Director and host, Brother James Brown Jr., and we do come to you live from Detroit, Michigan, each and every Thursday and Saturday night from 8 to 9 p.m. Well, as always, I'm asking all listeners, and especially for the first-time listeners, please get your Bibles, get your pens and paper ready so that you can follow along with the man of God in the presence of none other than Deacon Marvin Cox, who is going to be coming forth very shortly, sharing with us another inspirational poem, and then he's going to share God's word with us again on tonight. So I urge you to get your Bibles, get your pens and paper ready to follow along with the man of God so that we can all see what the Lord has sent to his people on tonight together. And as we always do, we always open up with prayer. So I'm asking our listeners, if you will please go into prayer with me at this time. Heavenly Father, our Creator, we come to you once again in that precious name, Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son, in whom you said you are well pleased. It's in his name that we come on tonight, giving you glory, honor, and praise because of who you are. We bless your name on tonight. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are not like man. You cannot lie, you cannot fail, nor change. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have all power in heaven and earth in your hands. And, oh, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy, even your sufficient grace that you extend toward each one of your people on tonight. We just bless your name on tonight. We give you glory, honor, and praise in the name of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come now lifting up all those that are sick and afflicted in their minds, spirits, and bodies all over the land. Touch, heal, and deliver as only you can in the name of Jesus Christ. And Heavenly Father, I lift up my bishop, Bishop James A. Jennings, to you in a special way. And not only him, but I lift up my father, James Frank Brown Sr. I lift them both up to you now in a special way, Lord, that you know what each one of them are dealing with and what they're going through. And not only them, but everyone that are dealing with issues, whether it's a physical issue or mental issue, whatever the case may be, you are all-knowing, you are all-powerful, you are awesome, God. So you know what each one is going through, and you promised in your word that you would not put no more on us than we're able to bear. So we know that you are the healer, so I'm asking that you would touch, heal, and deliver and strengthen my bishop, Bishop James A. Jennings, and also my father, James Frank Brown Sr., in whatever areas they need you to touch and heal them in, even right now. Even though they are under doctor's care, we pray, Lord, that you would touch the doctor's heart, that they would come with the same conclusion and get to the matter of the issues, whatever they're dealing with, that they can resolve them with your help, Heavenly Father, because we know that all things are possible to them that believe. And not only them, but, Lord, we lift up all those that are dealing with the issues of losing loved ones on tonight. We know that earth still has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. So we pray, Lord, that you would touch their hearts and the minds of those that are in the hour of bereavement on tonight. Let them, too, remember and know that earth still has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. So we ask that you would comfort and strengthen them as only you can in the name of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we come lifting up all those that are incarcerated behind prison bars, and especially for those that are incarcerated unjustly, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you will move by your spirit, that those that are incarcerated unjustly, that due process will be found and they will find the right evidence, and those persons that are behind prison bars or behind jails that are incarcerated falsely, that everything will come in order, that they will be able to be released back into society, and they will give you the glory, honor, and praise, knowing that you have given them the victory and you have given them another chance to fulfill their God purpose in the earth behind bars. So we know that you are able. So we turn that situation over to you, Heavenly Father, because there are so many people that are incarcerated behind prison bars, not only in the United States, but worldwide, that are innocent people. And you know who they are, and you know how to maneuver and touch the hearts of people that can fix that situation where they can be released back into society again so they can fulfill their individual God purposes in the earth for your glory, is our prayer in the name of Jesus. And, oh, God, now in the name of Jesus, we come lifting up our President Donald Trump to you, Lord. We know that you know what he's going through. We know that you know his mind. And we know that you already know his intentions. So we pray and lift him up to you now, Lord, that you would touch his heart. And if he's not saved in the name of Jesus, we pray, Lord, that you would touch his heart, that after he hears your word through your vessel, that he will even open his own mouth and be convicted, and that his heart will be pricked to the point that he will surrender and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive him of his sins and ask Jesus Christ to come into his heart and save him so that he would, too, come to know his God purpose, and that he would do what's right for all people all over the land, and that you would be glorified through his life. Not only him, but all world leaders, all those that have ruled over your people all over the land, touch their hearts, Lord, that they will be able to show more love and compassion, and they would do what's right for all people all over the land, and that you would be glorified, is our prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. And finally, Lord, we lift up all those that are faithful listeners to this worldwide ministry. Continue to bless them, grant them the desires of their hearts. And, oh, God, we pray that you would continue to trust their hearts, and they would continue to go out into the hedges and highways and spread the good news of Jesus Christ. And at the same time, they would share the good news about this worldwide ministry, that others can tune in and be blessed by this ministry as well, is our prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. So we pray, Lord, that now you would help us to decrease on tonight, so that you would increase in us and through us, that you would be glorified through us on tonight. And we pray, Lord, finally, that those that are listening on tonight, that your word will be received in love through your man of God as he brings forth your word and after he share an inspirational poem on tonight. Be with him, lead and guide him, and through your Holy Spirit, that you would be glorified through him on tonight. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. All the people of God that are touching and agreeing to this prayer said amen. Well, tonight's scripture food for thought comes to us saying, in the form of a question, are you truly fulfilling your God purpose? Once again, tonight's scripture food for thought comes to us in the form of a question, are you truly fulfilling your God purpose? Only you can answer that. I'm asking all listeners, if you will please go to blogtalkradio.com/servants/ambassadors/vessels, and once you get there, please click on follow. I do welcome all comments and feedback from listeners. You can email me at all lowercase james underscore brown 1558@yahoo.com or on Facebook. In the form of announcements, I have an announcement here that I would like to make on behalf of Greater New Mount Moriah Church, which is located here in Detroit, Michigan. The Gospel Music Shop, their men's department presents a men's concert, which will be taking place on Sunday, August the 12th at 5 p.m. Again, the men's division of the Gospel Music Workshop of America, the men's division there will be presenting a men's concert, and it will be taking place at Greater New Mount Moriah Church, which is located in Detroit, Michigan. If you would like more information pertaining to this upcoming concert, again, will be taking place on Sunday, August the 12th at 5 p.m. You can contact their chairperson, Mr. Charles Thompson. He's the program chairperson. Or Brother Romeo Trevix, the men's division. They can be reached at area code 313-657-3910. And that's, again, the Gospel Music Workshop of America, Detroit Chapter, Men's Division. They will be presenting a men's concert on Sunday, August the 12th, 2018 at 5 p.m. at Greater New Mount Moriah Baptist Church. And the address is 586 Owen Street in Detroit, Michigan. And also, the Mount Calvary Lutheran Church, located at 17100 Chalmers on the east side of Detroit. They will be hosting on Saturday, August the 11th, they will be hosting a free food and fun community barbecue. They are asking all people in the community to join them for the community barbecue. There will be free food until they run out. You are asked to bring your own lawn chair, come meet your neighbors, hear about the improvements to the neighborhood. There will be bounce houses for the children, and also playscapes will be open. If you have any questions pertaining to this event, you can call their church office, and the number is 313 area code 527-3366. Again, 313 area code 527-3366. And again, that's going to be taking place on Saturday, August the 11th at Mount Calvary Lutheran Church. Again, the address is 17100 Chalmers on the corner of Seymour on the east side of Detroit. And they're also inviting you on that Sunday, the following day, Sunday, August the 12th at 9 p.m. They're inviting you to come worship with them in their Sunday morning service. And I do have one final announcement. I am so proud to announce that we have two young men, they're brothers. God is using these young men mightily. And I know their parents, Calvin and Tasha Pruden, I know that they are so proud of their sons, David Pruden and his brother, also named Kevin. They have been invited to the prestigious Oxford University summer program, and they will be leaving Detroit on August the 12th. Oxford University summer program, David is the author of a new book. His book is titled The Game Through the Eyes of the Player, and he's talking about and dealing with life lessons and leadership. This is a very young man. I think he's about 17 years old. And then he and his brother have been invited again to attend Oxford University. David, I think one of them is going to be dealing with international law, and the other brother is dealing with business economics, if I'm not mistaken. If you want to check out more information about these two brothers, and I advise you to do so, you would be blessed. David Pruden's website to check out his book, once again titled The Game Through the Eyes of the Player, and it's dealing with life and life's lessons and leadership. David Pruden's website is David Pruden, D-A-V-I-D, P-R-D-U-N, Pruden, P-R-U-D-E-N, I'm sorry, David Pruden, P-R-U-D-E-N.com. And he also has a Facebook page. If you would like to check him out, you can also go to David Pruden's Facebook page pertaining to his newly released book, and also you can get more information about their summer program, the trip that him and his brother are about to adventure on, visiting Oxford University, which is located in Oxford, England. They will be leaving here on August the 12th, so we want to keep them in prayer that the Lord will grant them travel and grace. They will be safe while they're there, and they will come back with a good report. So we want to keep that family in prayer. So God is doing mighty things through our young people today. So they are living proof that God is working through even young people on today. So we want to, I'm asking all the listeners, please keep the prudent brothers in your prayers. Again, I do advise you, if you would like to participate or look at his book, or if you would like to order a copy of his book, you can go to his website once again, or also on his Facebook page. His website is davidpruden.com, and also in, David Pruden on Facebook. So those are my announcements for tonight. So right now, before we bring forth Deacon Marvin Cox, who's going to share with us another inspirational poem, then he's going to go directly into God's Word. We're going to go to our music break on tonight, and I pray that you'll be blessed by this music. Some glad morning, when this life is over, the Lord's promised that we're going to fly away to a home that Jesus Christ has went away to prepare for us, for those that have accepted him as their personal Lord and Savior. Be blessed by this song on tonight.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Aren't you glad that one of these mornings, one of these evenings, one of these nights, don't you be alarmed, you're going to fly away. And don't you know that you are flying away to a new home that Jesus Christ himself has put the way to prepare for you and I, those that are saved in his name. So it behooves you on tonight, if you are not saved in Jesus' name, if you think you're going to fly away and go to heaven and be where Jesus is without being saved in Jesus' name, that is not going to happen. You will find yourself in hell. That's where you will end up. If you do not accept the Lord Jesus Christ, while you have blood running warm in your veins, while you have a chance to open your mouth and confess and call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him to come in your heart and save you, because it's only in his name that you can be saved. So that's why I'm so glad and so grateful for that song, that for those that are saved in Jesus' name, we know that one day, if Jesus don't come back first, we're going to fly away and we're going to be at rest. We're going to be in that place, that home. We have our own individual mansion where Jesus has went away himself to prepare for you and I who are saved in his name on tonight. That is good news. So right now, I present to you Deacon Marvin Cox, who's going to share with us another inspirational poem. And following his poem, he's going to go directly into the word for tonight. And again, I pray and hope that you do have your Bibles and pens and paper ready to follow along with him as we go through the word of God on tonight together. And I do pray that this word will be received and loved by every listener on tonight. Deacon Marvin Cox, I now yield the mic to you.
Amen. Again, I thank you, Brother Brown, for this opportunity. Thank the Lord for touching your heart so that I could bring his word, not my word, but his word to the people. Now, tonight's poem is basically coinciding with tonight's lesson. And recently, I know there have been a lot of deaths all around us. You turn on the TV, you see nothing but death. You talk to a neighbor or a friend, there's nothing but death. But this poem is coinciding with what Brother Brown just said as far as being in the Lord. And I'm here to reassure, I wish it could be all of you, but some of you, because we have unsaved family and friends and relatives, but I'm here to reassure you that everything is going to be all right. Now, the name of the poem is No Face, I'd Rather See. And this is for all the listeners who have recently lost a loved one or know somebody that lost a loved one. And this is an answer possibly from the other side, from those that are saved and baptized believers in the Lord. It says, no face I'd rather see. There's no face I'd rather see or no place I would rather be than to see the face of my Savior smiling at me. My race has been run. I'm longing to hear the words, servant, well done. When I was with you, I gave all that I could give. I wasn't living to die, but I was dying to live. To all of my loved ones, I know you will cry because I didn't have time to pack nor to say goodbye. But when the Father's call, I cannot be late. I had an appointment with the Lord with no cancellation date. Now, the hardest thing that anyone has to do is saying goodbye to the ones who love you. Some may be too young to understand. That's why it's important to leave them in God's unchanging hand. I got worried from my journey, and I had to stop for a while. But my Father sent his angels to carry me the very last mile. I never feel that your loving or my loving is in vain, because if you serve the Lord, we will see each other again. So please don't think it's selfish of me. I'm with the Master now, and his face I'll soon see. Amen. Now, our lesson for tonight, I'll be reading to you from the Gospel recorded by St. Luke, the 15th chapter, starting at the 32nd verse, and it reads, "It was meet that you should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found." Now, our topic for tonight is all hope is not lost. And we're talking about tonight about losing things. We're talking about losing possession of those things that are near and dear and valuable to us. And, of course, losing a loved one is a very traumatic experience. And when you lose something, as I say, the topic for tonight is all hope is not lost. But when you lose something, it brings about a panic. It brings about anxiety. It brings about confusion. It brings about, as a matter of fact, it starts an avalanche of negative emotions, emotions in which we cannot grab a hold of. Now, the passage, I read to you from the book of St. James, St. Luke 15, chapter, the 32nd verse. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word and may it edify us so forever. Forgive me, Lord, I did not mean to, you know, to not follow the proper protocol, but I just thank God because I'm so excited tonight to give your people, Lord, give them the encouragement that they need in these troubled days. And so, as I was saying, this is a story about a father who lost his son. He didn't lose him through death, but he lost him in a lot of ways in which we lose things. And it was rejoicing in the father's heart because that which he lost, he regained possession of. His son, I will give you a brief history on it. His son was like a lot of our children are. They get a certain age and they no longer want to comply with the rules and the regulations of the house. They live practically with us sometimes rent free. And they want to see what the world is about. And we try to protect them, but see, we cannot. And the way in which they need to be protected because they must gather that valuable experience to go out there and see what the world is about. We can tell them what it's about. We can even warn them what it's about. But until they go out there and experience it, and then they'll be able to make their own judgment. But this young man, he, to speed it up a little bit, he wanted to go out there and see what life was like. He turned himself into a baller and a shot caller. And he went and he lived lavishly because he was living off the inheritance that his father was saving for him upon the father's death. And this young man, he wanted to go out there and he wanted to see what it was like. And as any one of us know, when our children go out there, they go astray in our hearts, regardless of what great upbringing we may have given unto them, we feel that we have lost our child. We feel that this may be the last time that we ever see them. Now, I know that every parent feels this way, that when their child or their husband or a loved one goes, we pray for their safe return. And that's why it's very important nowadays to treat people right, because we really don't know whether that would be the last time that we've seen that individual. So the father, he was talking to the brother in that 32nd verse, and it was rejoicing in the father's heart. Because as I was telling you earlier, when we lose something, I'm going to give you some examples of that. When we lose something, it brings about a panic. We feel incomplete. We feel confused. We feel that an anxiety. We have fear. And for all these emotions, until we retrieve that which has been lost, then it brings about, as I said, an avalanche of depression, avalanche of negativity. So when we lose these things, until we find these things, until we come back in contact with these things and see, it even applies to our physical health. It applies to when we lose control. It applies to when we become addicted to prescription drugs. We lose our will to resist these things. So losing something is a hard thing to do, regardless of what it may be. So the father was glad. He rejoiced, and he was telling the brother, hey, you should be glad too. But sometimes those things that we lose, people don't want you to retrieve those things. And as I say, we began to do a search within our hearts as to why, or the events leading up to us letting something slip out of our hands. Now, it was a woman. I'm going to give you a parable of the woman who lost a coin. And she had 10 coins, and she lost one, and she was not going to be satisfied until she retrieved that coin. So I'm just paraphrasing here. So the lady, she practically turned her house upside down trying to find that one coin. And it's not that the other 9 coins lost their value, but the one that was missing, the one that was misplaced, it took on more value than all else. Now, can you imagine in the congregation when a member leaves? Because God's word says that heaven rejoices over 99, over one that repent. The 99 just that need no repentance. And it also says that if a man has so many sheep, would he leave the 99 and go looking for the one? So it's very important. And see, those ones that are left behind, sometimes we complain, we moan, and we grumble. But see, we are accounted for. When something is unaccounted for, then it brings about a worry. It brings about a stress upon the individual who lost possession of it. So all hope is not lost. Because with today's distractions, there are so many different things that we have lost possession of. Now, my son recently misplaced his keys, and it turned him into a different animal. He was real grumbly. It was real irritable. It brings about an irritation when you lose something. It brings about, as I said, anxiety. It brings about stress. And he looked all over the house trying to retrace his steps, even called onto his job, as we do when we lose something. We try to backtrack and go over every step that we made trying to see exactly where that valuable possession was. And so we become more and more frustrated because we can't find that. We begin to lose hope if we will ever have that thing in our possession again. And so I know that it was the Lord that had directed him to the dumpster outside, because he had been in the backyard cutting grass. And then when he went to the dumpster, he emptied the grass into the dumpster, and his keys on the top. And so it really does not matter how we go about losing things or the method for which we take in losing those things, but they are no longer in our possession, and they become probably our biggest worry. Now, could you imagine how God feels when one of his children strays away from the fold, when they are no longer accounted for? He knows where they are. When they're no longer accounted for in his house of worship, when he knows that they can be overtaken by the wiles of the demon, how they could submit themselves to things that they would normally not submit themselves to, as this son who left away from his father's house, how he did. He went and he began to do things that his father taught him against. He began to do things that was against his religious tradition. So moving right along, all hope is not lost. To those of us who have lost loved ones, all hope is not lost. If they were in the Lord and they did the things that the Lord required for them to do, then it's time for each and every last one of us to get ourselves together. Because they done their part. They done what it was, as the poem was stated to you. They want to hear that report, servant, well done. So if I meet the qualifications to be reunited with my loved ones in a better place, then that means that those who do not qualify are those that still yet have a chance to do those things, to meet the qualifications, to go through the prerequisites that Brother Brown said earlier. And it was not a scare tactic. It was the truth. You must be saved. Because if you're not saved, and I'm not saying this to alarm anyone, but I'm just saying this to say that we do have a choice. And sometimes even the choices that we make, we can get lost. And we lose, one thing that I did not mention is that when we lose something, we become lost. All that confidence that we had, we no longer have. All of that bravado that we had, we lose more than whatever that possession was. Because this young man, he went out there and he lost the one thing that was most important to him. He lost his sense of responsibility. He began to do and to party and to mingle with the people that he should not have mingled with. So I'm just telling you, my brothers and my sisters, all hope is not lost. We must lean and we must depend on the Lord. I have a few verses that I like to share with you concerning this hope, concerning this rejoicing, because the lady who lost it, who lost the one coin, she rejoiced when she had that coin in her possession. The man who thought he had lost the son, he rejoiced when his son came back home to him. So all hope is not lost. And as long as we're hanging on to that hope, as long as we have that hope in our heart, then it's going to be a better day just beyond the horizon. Now, 2 Timothy, the 1st and the 7th verses say, "For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." And see, these are those, because see, as I was telling you earlier, when we become lost, we become fearful in our mind as well as in our hearts, we lose hope. But all hope is not lost. Now we're going to go over here to Jeremiah, the 29th chapter and the 11th verse. And it reads, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." So can't you see that all hope is not lost, even up under the most adverse conditions? All hope is not lost, even upon losing a loved one. All hope is not lost, because what we live in now is a temporary creature of a moment for right now. We're making preparations to live life eternal with the Lord, with God, and our loved ones. So all hope is not lost. Now, 1 Peter, the 5th chapter and the 7th verse, it lets us know. It says, "Cast all of your anxieties on him, because he cares for you." Now, losing something that we have been adjusted to is just a temporary convenience. I have a grandson who, as most young men are today, is a very virile young man, and it seems like it's been this way forever. But he noticed a few extra strands of hair was in his comb, and then he seen a little glistening spot on the side of his head. So he began to worry. He brought about the worry and the stress. He said, "Granddad, I'm not the same. I'm losing my hair." I said, "Grandson, don't you worry about that. All hope is not lost." I said, "If you were bald-headed, those people that love you would not love you any less. That's just a prideful thing that you're talking about right now." I said, "Grandson, when I began to lose the use of my legs, I felt the same way. I felt that I couldn't keep up. I felt that I was inferior. But the Lord told me at that time, all hope is not lost. And he gave me a stipulation for which I embrace today." His word gave me a stipulation. And it was said, and I might be paraphrasing here, that it is better for a man to enter the kingdom of heaven, a half a man, than not to enter the kingdom of heaven at all. So those things, those prideful things, those things of vanity that we embrace, those things that is just ours just for a short period of time, we lose those things. We lose our money. Sometimes we feel we could have $1,000 and lose a dollar and feel bad about it. We say to ourselves, when we lose these things, I would have rather have given it away than to have lost it. So, my brothers and my sisters, all hope is not lost. It's only human nature when the possession of something that we valued, we no longer have it, for us to have this anxiety and the distress. So, I'm going to move to Proverbs, the 3rd chapter, the 5th and 6th verse. It says, "Trust in the Lord all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding, and always submit to him, and he will make your path straight." So the word telling us tonight that all hope is not lost. When we no longer have possession of things that we have placed a high amount of value on, God knows what it is. We may have want those things. Some of us have lost houses through bankruptcy or foreclosures or whatever the situation might be. But we didn't lose our soul. We did not lose anything. But we put such a high value on that house that we walk around feeling that we are less of a person. Now we're going to move to 2 Thessalonians, the 3rd chapter, the 16th verse. It reads, "Now may the Lord of peace give you peace at all times in every way. The Lord be with all of you." So I have a comforter during these times of bereavement, during these times that I feel that I can no longer control myself because the opioid has taken over, because the lust of my flesh is dominating me. Sometimes we lose, as humans, we lose control. We are no longer capable of making these rash decisions. Now, there's so many things that we can get involved in. Now, a woman in the suburbs felt that she may have lost her husband. Why? Because when the casinos came to town, he spent all his time and all of his money where? At the casino. But see, God can straighten that brother out. God has an ability to straighten things, to find him, to bring him back so that she could rejoice. So it's just a temporary, as I said, it's just a temporary inconvenience. Now, Proverbs 12 and 29, it says, "Anxiety weighs down the heart, but a kind word cheers it up." So those things that we conscience about, those things that we feel that we lost, those things that we feel that we could never regain, those things that it seems like our day is not complete without those things. It's time to concentrate more on the Lord. Because, see, I know one thing. In 1987, that's when I found the Lord. And if he withdraw his spirit away from me, now that would be a loss that I could never recover from. That would be a loss you could never recover from. So all hope is not lost. All of these things that we have is just a temporary thing. So hold on to that which God has given you. Do not allow these things to discourage you. All hope, my brothers and my sisters, even for those, as I say, for those ones that we just that we could possibly be grieving for now, there's still a second chance, but we must do what the Lord have us to do in order to make that reunification. Those children that was in that cave over there in Thailand, they had to search for them. Their parents thought after they did not get in contact with them for several days that all was lost. And when word came and it spread around the world that the boys were alive, there was great rejoicing going on not only in Thailand but in America and Africa for anybody that was following that situation. All eyes were focused on that situation. So all hope is not lost, even up under the most adverse of conditions. Now, Isaiah 35:4, it reads to us, tell everyone who is discouraged, be strong and don't be afraid. God is coming to your rescue. So whatever it is that we have allowed ourselves to become lost in or submerged in or that we no longer have control, even sometimes in our homes, as elderly people, sometimes it feels that our children could possibly be taken over. Feel that we don't have no control over our house because it seems like sometimes the children may be running roughshod over us. It seems like the children no longer respect us. It seems like the children are taking over and we are becoming the children and they are becoming the parents. But all hope is not lost. Trust in the Lord. It's time to rejoice. It's time for a reunification. Now I'm going to move over to here to Romans, the 8th chapter, the 38th and the 39th. It reads, for I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I just previously mentioned that. If I were to lose what the Lord gave me in 1987, said, let nothing separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. And when you lose something, what is that? That is a separation of you from that particular item, that particular person, that particular thought, that particular job, or whatever. That was just a separation. But God's word is saying, let nothing separate you. So don't lose out on that hope. All hope is not lost. I'm going to keep on emphasizing that all hope is not lost as long as you trust and as long as you believe. Now, as I've gone back, and I'm jumping all over the place this evening, when that son went out there and he did all the things that he thought he was big enough to do, the one thing that it does, the one thing that when you lose something, it does, it humbles you. He came back, he left away arrogant, but he came back humble. He left wild, but he came back meek and mild. He came back with a contrite heart, with a contrite spirit. He came back with a sorrowful. He didn't care the first time when he left away. He did not care. But on his way back home, as he was rehearsing to himself what he would say to his father, he knew that the status that he once had, that he may not have that status when he get back, as we sometimes do when we lose our mind and we offend people and we say and do things that later on we become godly sorrowful for. We don't know how to approach that individual. All we've got to do is repent. Because it's easy if we're not in the Lord. And believe me when I tell you, some of those that are in the Lord, it's easy to lose control. It's easy to get away from those things that God has ordained for us to do. So I'm just saying that in hard times that we must be able to keep our hope alive, because all hope is not lost. We must do the things that's necessary in order for us to be with the Lord, in order for us to transition from point A to point B, in order for us to graduate, so to speak, because some of us have been lost. We've been lost in our thoughts. We've been lost in our finances. We've been lost in the way that we treat people. We've been lost in our attendance into God's house. We've been lost in so many ways, but see, we have to have the Lord to help us, to assist us to get back. We have to find ourselves, as that young man did as he journeyed away from his father's house. He found out that the path that he took and the journey that he took him a long way from home, and sometimes our journeys will take us a long way from home. But I tell you, sometimes we can even know the way, get lost. We could be like, and get so frustrated and stop and ask for direction. Hey, could you tell me where such and such a place is? And the person say, hey, there you go right there. Now look how frustrated we became instead of keep on going, and it was just only a few steps away. So all hope is not lost, my brothers and my sisters. And I just thank the Lord once again for this opportunity to bring forth his word. And remember, all hope lost, regardless of what adversity you may face. I'll now turn you back over to the capable hands of Brother Brown. Amen. May God bless you, and may he ever keep you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. That's a good thing to know, that all hope is not lost, because Jesus said in his word, I would not put no more on you than you're able to bear. So the Lord knows exactly how much each one of us can handle. He knows our minds. He knows our thoughts even before we think them. So we just thank God for who he is on tonight. My prayer is that, and also Deacon Marvin Cox's prayer is that this word has been received in love on tonight. And our prayer and our goal and aim is tonight, through this word, by chance, if you are not saved in Jesus' name, you still have a chance, even on tonight. It is so simple. All you have to do is open up your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is God's only begotten Son, that he came down from earth in the form of a baby, in the form of flesh, like man, to die, to pay our sin debt with his own blood, a debt that he did not owe, but he knew that it was a debt that we could not pay. So aren't you glad that Jesus died for you? He died for me. So if you are not saved in his name on tonight, all hope is not lost. You can have a chance even on tonight. Thank God for the word on tonight, Deacon Marvin Cox. All hope is not lost. Even for those that are still spiritually blind, your eyes can be spiritually open on tonight. All you have to do is open your mouth and confess the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in your heart that he's God's Son, and believe that he died for you. He died, and he rose again from the dead, and he's now sitting at God's right hand making intercession for the saints of God, even now. That includes you, sinner. You can be saved even tonight. God's desire is that no souls be lost. So that's my prayer,
That's Deacon Marvin Cox's prayer. That's every guest that comes forth over this worldwide ministry platform's prayer that shares the good news of Jesus Christ. It's our prayer, our aim, and our goal that no souls be lost. So that's why the word of God tells us that we are compelled, those who are saved in Jesus' name, we have a job to do. We have a mission. We are compelled to go into the hedges and the highways and to bring those in that are still lost, still spiritually blind, so they can be saved in Jesus' name as well. Because we know that the enemy is still coming forth, and he's coming forth like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. So we know that he has no respect of persons, just like the Lord has no respect of persons. The enemy do not care what your position or status in life is. If he can bring you down and keep your eyes focused off of God and God's purpose and plan for your life, that's exactly what he would do. He don't want you to get in God's word. He do not want you to know what God's word and will is for your life, because he knows that if you get the word in you, then you're going to have a powerful tool to use against him. Not only will you have the word of God, but you will have Jesus Christ himself on your behalf, standing on your behalf, fighting for you. So the battle is not ours, it's the Lord's. So if you're not saved on tonight, we pray that you become saved on tonight, because the word of God tells us again, we are compelled to go into the highways and the hedges and the highways into the streets for those that are trying to make up, determine what Brother Brown's talking about today. We're talking about going into the streets where the people are, where the people are hurting. It's found in the book of Luke, chapter 14, verse number 23. We are compelled. That's a command from the Lord himself, not your pastor. That's not a word from me, but that's a word directly from the Lord. If you're saved in Jesus' name, we have a job to do. So it's about time that we come from beyond the four walls of the church. It's a good thing to give God glory and praise and honor as a corporate body of believers. That's what we're supposed to do. But what are we doing beyond the four walls of the church, where the people are in the streets, where the people are hurting? The opioids, this addiction with opioids, people dealing with mental issues. We have all kind of stuff, hate, bullying, jealousy, envy, all kind of stuff is going on in the world, nations against nations, fathers against sons, mothers against daughters, neighbors against neighbors. So the word of God is clear that these things are going to happen. So don't be alarmed. Don't be scared that God's word is being fulfilled. God is not like man. He cannot lie. So we need to be reminded, just like Deacon Marvin Cox said in his word, you know, We need to remember, as the body of Christ, our hope is not lost. We are safe in the arms of Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. So I pray that this word has been received on tonight. We thank God for Deacon Marvin Cox for sharing with us another inspirational poem, and then for bringing forth this mighty word on tonight. So again, we need to be reminded that all hope is not lost when we are safe and when we are truly born again in Jesus Christ, being faithful, committed doers of his word. We know that all hope is not lost, no matter what it looks like, no matter what we hear or what we see. When we know we have Jesus and Jesus is on our side, we know that all hope is not lost. I'm asking all listeners, if you will please go into prayer with me at this time. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, within the name of Jesus, we come once again to give you glory, honor, and praise for who you are. We thank you once again for your grace and mercy. We thank you even for your sufficient grace for each one of us inside of ourselves. So, Lord, we ask that you will help us to increase, so that you may increase in us even more and more, so that everywhere we go, somebody will be able to see Jesus Christ in us, and that you will be glorified, and that we will be able to bear witness of who you are in the earth in these last and evil days, and we will not be ashamed, but we will be able to rightly divide the word of truth. And so we pray, Lord, that you will continue to anoint and strengthen these vessels that are faithful, committed doers of your word all over the land, that we can continue individually and then as a corporate body of believers, fulfilling our God purposes in the earth for your glory. By faith, it is so. In Jesus' name we pray. And all the believers in Jesus' name said amen. Well, that's our program for tonight. I pray that you were blessed by the word of tonight, even through the music and the prayers, that someone has been blessed, helped, and strengthened. That's our goal and our purpose for this ministry, and most of all, that someone be saved in Jesus' name. So we thank God for you tuning in, and continue to know, listeners, that I do pray for you, and I ask that you continue to share the good news about this ministry and share this news to others that they can tune in and be blessed by it as well. So until the next time, we're going to do what? We're going to continue to give God praise. Why? He is worthy to be praised. Until the next time, to be blessed of the Lord. Good night.
Almighty Savior, come on, my soul loves thee.